That's good morning in Tagalog. Are you ready to try it? Magandang? Umaga. It means good morning. That's right. Hallelujah. We're so blessed to be here. Does anyone remember us from last time? Yes? Hallelujah. We're so blessed to be back here. I remember we had so much fun here last time with y'all. Do y'all remember how fun it was? I remember there was prophetic words coming forth. I remember some people were healed. Hallelujah. We're believing for more of the same. Amen. Well, for those of you that do remember us, we want to see if you can tell that our children have grown any. Because it's been almost 3 years. Almost, yeah. Almost 3 years since we've been here. It doesn't seem like that long, but it has been. So, boys, I'm going to go ahead and introduce them. Y'all go ahead and come line up right down here. And we're going to let the kids introduce themselves. You going to come preach, son? It's okay. Here, no, take it down. Thank you, Lord. Well, we have been, we got back to the States early March, and we've been ministering in a lot of places since then. And I'm going to be taking this tallest drink of water right here. He and I are going to be going back to the Philippines in October, by the grace of God. And we're going to be there for about 3 or 4 weeks. Haven't got the itinerary totally set yet, but just heard back from Bishop Chito over there in Manila, and we're going to be back there for about 3 or 4 weeks. So I'm going to be going back about every 6 months to Manila and taking at least one of these handsome dudes with me. Each time, we'll go and minister, do feeding outreaches, basketball outreaches. You see, we're raising a basketball team. A basketball team for Jesus. Amen? That's right. And but then while we're here in the States, we're going to be traveling and ministering during the other 5 months that I'm here in the States. So we're really excited to be here. Hallelujah. Okay, here, go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Josiah, and I am 15 years old. And one thing that I liked about the Philippines is that over there, they had the fast food restaurants that we know and love here, like McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King. But over there at the McDonald's, you could order rice and chicken. And at Wendy's, you could buy egg rolls. And also at Kentucky Fried Chicken, they had rice. And I would like to share a Bible verse from John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who received him, to those who believed, he gave them the power to be called children of God.
Hello, I'm Judah, and I'm 13. And one thing that I really liked about the Philippines was that it was always good weather outside. But for their seasons, from January through April, it was summer. And then the entire rest of the year, it was rainy season. And it would rain like once every 5 days or every afternoon right in a row. And 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Don't you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to earn the prize."
Hello, my name is Isaac, and I am 12. And one thing that I liked about the Philippines was that the people, they were very nice to us, and that whenever we went to a mall or a store, all the like 20 people came rushing up willing to help us. And I would like to share a Bible verse from John verses 1 verses 1 through 5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that had not been made by God. In him was life, and that life was light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it."
This is the one 3 years ago that was under the pew over there playing with his little brother. And he said, "Just go to one of my boys and they'll give you a word." And he got out from under the pew and I said, your dad said you give me a word. And he said, "Yes, Pastor." He said, "You know, the devil don't like you very much." Then he gave me a word. I thought, that's so cool.
Hello, my name is Jonah and I'm 10. And one thing that I liked about the Philippines was that their favorite sport was basketball, so where we lived, we were just like a block away from a court. And and I'd like to share Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff protect me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Hello, my name is Issachar, and I'm 9 years old, and I'd like to share a Bible verse from Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things.
Hello, my name is Jacob, and I'm 7 years old. And one thing that I liked about the Philippines is that the court, it was covered. So whenever it rained, we still got to play. And I would like to share a Bible verse from Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Hello, my name is Ezekiel, and I am 12. And what I like about the Philippines is that there were these hairy things, and they are called rambutans.
Rambutan is a fruit. It was hairy. You peel it open, and it would taste like a grape. And they had a little pit on the inside, but they're really good. Of course, the kids love them because they're all fuzzy and hairy on the outside. That's right.
Hello, my name is Julie Solana.
And how old are you? How old are you?
3.
This is Jerusalem, obviously our only girl, and she's 3. And this is a big step for her to say that, as you can tell. She's a little shy sometimes. What's your name?
Say, I'm Justice.
Justice? This is Justice, and he just turned 2. And these two were both born in the Philippines, but they're not dual citizens. They don't do it the same way. I'm Jill. I won't tell you how old I am, but what I liked about the Philippines were all of the amazing tropical fruits that were ripe and fresh. You know, by the time we get them here in Texas, they've been picked green and don't ever ripen the right way, right? But in the Philippines, they were amazing, and my favorite was papaya. The red lady papaya was awesome. They say sarap, which means delicious. Okay. All right, boys, y'all come have a seat. So, you know, we have this awesome set of young men lined up here before you. And, you know, none of them are twins, right? So I kept having a boy, another boy, another boy. And the fun thing about the Lord is when I was in college and before I had met Steve, I had babysat kids before and thought they were fun for a couple hours, but I was always looking at my watch for when the parents were going to come home because I really never envisioned myself having very many kids, maybe one. Isn't the Lord fun? Yes. He says, well, let me just change your paradigm. And let me show you in the Word what the Word says. And so through these years, obviously 15 now, of having children homeschooling, I have journaled a lot, done a lot of Bible studies, and cried a lot of tears. And the Lord has really shown me a lot of truth about children, most importantly about motherhood. So I wrote a book called Embracing Motherhood. And honestly, I have reread this book about 5 times since it got published about 3 years ago. This encourages me because this is some of the word of the Lord to me, but I believe to all women. We are all mothers. Whether it's a plant or an animal or a person, we're going to nurture it. We're going to take care of it, right? We're going to make sure it has a good place to sleep and a good meal, and we're talking nice to it. It's just the way God made us. And it's a really important role. Our society is made up of women who feed people, pass on their traditions, and bring families together. So I want to just tell you, I'm not trying to say you need to have 9 kids. I'm not saying that's God's answer to the world by any means. That was God's plan for us. But motherhood is God's plan for every woman to nurture the next generation, to love those that God's brought into your life. Maybe there are kids or even young people who are just drawn to you, and you pour into them. You pray for them. You love them. Those are people that you are mothering. And so I just believe this is an encouragement in that journey, whether you don't have children, whether you know someone who's about to have a baby. I just believe this would really be a blessing, because I talk about nurturing motherhood and spiritual motherhood and even mothering the nations, which we are all called to do in the body of Christ. So I have these books available on the back table for a donation of $10 to the ministry. If that's a problem and you would like a book, just come see me. And I want to give this one away. So if this is a book that you'd like to have or give away, please raise your hand. And Jonah, why don't you come be led by the Holy Spirit, not by any eyes. No, just kidding. If you'd like the book, raise your hand real big so Jonah can see you.
I remember when we were here last time. It was such a blessed time. And we are so grateful for your help and help sending us off. We'll, Lord willing, be able to show this video in just a little bit. But our ministry has seen over 1,000 people come to Christ. So is anyone excited about that? Can we say thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah. You know, what is so powerful is that I really believe that we were all born for such a time as this. Amen? That's why we're here now. You weren't born in the 1700s. You didn't get to come over on the Mayflower. You weren't here during the Revolutionary War. You weren't here during the Civil War, World War I, World War II. That's not when you were supposed to be an adult or whatever age you are right now. God's plan and purpose were for you to be here right now. Amen? And it's not by accident. None of us are an accident. He has a divine purpose for each one of us. Amen? Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I wanted to ask you if you'll go ahead and turn to Hosea. Hosea chapter 3, verse 5. I've got a short message I want to share with you. It's called Agreeing with the Father's Favor. Agreeing with the Father's Favor. Oh, thank you, Pastor Dorn. Thank you, Lord. Do y'all like favor? Yes? Do you like being in line at Walmart? It's not my favorite thing. Isn't it so much fun when you're in line and then all of a sudden a cashier comes up to you and says, here, come right over here, I'll get you. And you get to be the first one. And then, there's a fight behind you because all these people are trying to be next after you to get into the new line. Yeah. You, have you experienced that before? Yes. I like that's favor. Or when you show up somewhere, maybe it's to a movie or a crowded parking lot, and you're like, oh, Lord, help me find a parking spot. And just as you're driving by, someone pulls out, and so you get the best parking spot. Anyone ever experienced that? Yeah. Hallelujah. That's called favor. Oh, we got it? Is it sound good? Yes or no? Almost. Okay. All right. Well, have you heard the song, Good, Good Father? Yes. Does anyone like that song? Yes. Come on, you help me preach. Yes. Yes. I like that song too. You know, I believe that there are levels to believing. Do you believe that he's a good, good father? Yes. Well, I believe that too. But you know what? I believe the Lord wants us to have deeper revelation that he's good. Yes. Amen? Do you believe that you have mined out, you know, like gold mine? Have you have dug out and evacuated all the treasure there is to know about how good he is. I just don't want to burst anyone's bubble. You don't know it all yet. Neither do I. Because he is unfolding it. And that should excite someone in here. And that, actually, this is fulfillment of a prophecy in Hosea chapter 3, verse 5. That, I don't know what translation that you're looking at. But my translation says, in the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. Is anybody out there? In the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. Now, has anyone here, have you ever trembled because God revealed how good he is to you? Well, guess what? If it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. Because the word says it's going to happen. And he's going to, do you think he's talking about the lost? They're the ones that are going to tremble at his goodness? Well, when they find him. But how much more those that already know him? Amen? Yes? Now, if you'll notice right here, I see right over here, it says, expect the glory. And over here it says, receive the glory. Do you remember? Now, this is all extra. This is free. I'm just giving you extra. This is a now revelation, a now word for this body right here. Because y'all are the ones with this. I haven't seen this at other churches before. Just y'all. Y'all are the only ones. But Moses told God, he said, Lord, show me your glory. You know about this, right? And you know what God said? He said, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you. So see, when we're expecting the glory and receiving the glory, we're expecting the goodness of God, the favor of God, the grace, the mercy, the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give. That's what we're wanting to expect and receive. Right there. You want to go ahead? Let's pretend like we're at a tennis match. Expect the glory. Receive the glory. Expect the glory. Receive the glory. Expect the glory. Receive the glory. Amen. Do we have any expectation here today? I want you to be expecting to receive new revelation of the goodness of God before you go out those doors or whatever doors you're leaving in. Today. Amen? Now, we're going to show you a video. It's just going to give you a little taste of some of the goodness of God that we've been allowed to experience and be a part of. But I just want to remind you that every single one of you that gave to us last time we were here, anyone that has prayed for us, even if you thought about us, even if you were just nice to us last time, you smiled at us, you helped us get over there and get to experience some of this. So what I'm saying is, you're part of this. This is some of your heavenly reward that's waiting for you. Because every life that was touched, you're part of it. Do you believe that? Okay, so when you look at this, oh, this is nice. Here's the little missionary adventure. Well, this is part of your adventure too. Amen? Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, I was just thinking about a movie. Did y'all see this movie? Where, they start, this guy wakes up, you know, and then he, you know, starts getting ready for work or whatever, and it's about a two-hour movie about him just, you know, kind of getting ready for work and then driving to work. And when he shows up at work, the movie ends. Did y'all see that? It's really boring. Well, it's not a real movie. It's just something I made up in my mind. No one would go watch that. What's the point? Okay, he's getting ready. All right. And now he's driving. Okay, it's over. Would you like to go watch that movie? Does that sound fun? Sound exciting, entertaining? Nobody would want to go, well, it's probably a few, but hardly anyone would want to go see that movie. Do you think that's the kind of life the Lord Jesus died on the cross to give you? Some kind of boring, humdrum life? Now, I totally agree with the word from the Lord that Pastor Dorma shared about we find our rest in Christ. Jesus said, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. And you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we all have seasons where we feel tired, sick, disappointed, discouraged. We all go through those seasons because we live in a fallen world and we all have to fight the fight of faith. And it includes all those things. There is a devil, there is an enemy. But guess what? Only reason the devil is here is because God allows it. And why? Why not? Lord, why couldn't it just be easy our whole life? Why could? Because he wants us to experience the thrill of overcoming. Is anyone hear what I'm saying? I need, come here, Jacob. You come up here. Now, Ezekiel's not in here. This is Jacob. He is 7 years old. Did you know that he can already shoot a basketball and make it? He could do that when he was five. I think the Lord has big plans for him. Amen? But I just want you to know that if I play basketball against him, I have a little bit of a size advantage. And a little bit of a skill advantage. I did play 2 years of college basketball, and I've played since then, and I still play, and I love to chase my boys around and play. And it's a lot of fun. But I just want you to know, sometimes I play with you and who else? Ezekiel. Ezekiel's five. Sometimes I'll play against them, okay? And I just want you to know that there have been times where I have won. Now, being a dad, I just want you to know, sometimes they win. Because I'm the dad and I'm betting them win. But sometimes they win. But sometimes I win, okay? And I just want you to know, I love playing with them, all right? But it's not a big secret that if I beat them, do I run around and celebrate and yell? And do I do all that? I don't really do that. Because it's not super exciting to me to beat them. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? Okay, thank you, son. However, I enjoy getting to play with the young guys. Now, I'm 47, playing with the 20-year-olds, the college players, you know, the guys who can dunk any which way. I can still dunk a little bit, but not any which way like I used to when I was younger. The guys that are so fast and they're all big and strong and they look like athletes. You see them and go, whoa, that's an athlete. And they're all running and they're making threes and they're doing all this fancy stuff or whatever. I love to play with them. And there are still times when I've got the ball and the ball comes to me and maybe I do a couple of dribbles and I do a move and then I shoot a three-pointer and the guy's right in my face and I make it. And when that happens, I hope you're not disappointing me. I don't just go, oh, that was nice. Oh, I'm like, yeah, 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 yes. Because I just beat guys that are more athletically talented and stronger and faster and jump higher. But I beat them. I brought them down. Now, I don't stick my finger in their face and say, you ain't got no victory. No, I don't do all that stuff. I don't do that. But it's exciting. And I don't know how many times I've came home and I tell my wife, well, I got to make a three-pointer today to win the game. You know, I got to come home and tell my wife because I'm the conquering hero, you know. So I got to come home and tell her what happened. And the Lord, the promise is he never lets us go through more than what we can handle. Sometimes when we're going through it, we think, oh, that's more than we can handle. How many times has God shown himself faithful in your life? How many of you have had a prayer answered and there was a financial miracle or a physical miracle or a restoration of a broken relationship that was like a miracle? How many of you have experienced that before? Would you raise your hands? Can you just look around real quick? Look at all these hands raised. God is faithful. Amen. And he wants us to experience the thrill of overcoming. Now, the Bible promises in 1 John, it says, who is he that overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We're overcomers. Would you help me preach this morning? Go ahead and elbow your neighbor gently. Say, you're an overcomer. In Christ, you're an overcomer. The Bible says in either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, we're more than conquerors in Christ. Amen? Are there any conquerors out there? Whether we sound like conquerors or not, that's who we are, right? That's what, yeah, I'm a conqueror.
Yes, I'm a conqueror.
No matter how we sound, that's who we are, right? That's our identity in Christ. We are who he says we are, amen? And that's a good word for each one of us. You are who the Lord says you are. You can do what he says you can do. You have what the Bible says you have, amen? Amen? Now you remember when Moses asked God, he said, show me your glory. He showed him his glory, all right? In Habakkuk 2:14, this is what it says. It says, the Lord said, for as surely as I live, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In Isaiah chapter 6, that's when King Uzziah died, and Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he saw the angels. Do you know this story? He saw the glory of God too. And he saw there was the cherubim, and they had six wings, and two they'd cover their face, and two they'd cover their feet, and with two they would fly. And they kept saying this, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory, is filled with his glory. This is back in Isaiah's day. The angels are revealing that the whole earth is full of the glory of God. Did you know that the whole earth is still filled with the glory of God? Still, even in Iraq right now, even in Saudi Arabia, even in the United States, the whole earth is full of the glory of God. The problem is not with the Lord or the glory of God around. The problem is between our two ears. Because the Bible says that the devil has blinded the world. So we're not always aware of the glory of God that is right by us. I know you have. Have any of you been in a service, or maybe you've been driving or whatever, and all of a sudden you're just in the presence of the Lord and you're feeling like someone dropped off a napalm bomb, boom, of glory, and you're wasted in the glory. Have you experienced that before? There's probably some trembling going on. Guess what? You're experiencing the goodness of God. Well, guess what? I've been in church service before. I'm just crying, weeping. I'm like, oh, God, you're so good. I love you. And there's some guy right beside me. He's all looking around like, boy, when is this over? I'm hungry. I'm ready to go. Totally oblivious to the glory of God that's right there. But it's there. The glory's there. Because the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. But we're not always aware of it. And I believe that the promise of 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says, for all of us as like in a mirror, as we behold the glory of the Lord, are transformed into his image from glory to glory. We're going to talk about this just for a few seconds later. But in 1 John 3:1-2, it says, oh, what manner of love is this, that the Father has lavished and poured out his love on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. That is what we are. Now, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. But when we see him, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. the more we see Jesus, the more we see who he really is. There's more revelation for us about how good and amazing he is. And to the degree we see how amazing he is, we begin to see how amazing we are because he's inside of us. I haven't even started my sermon. You're going to get an abbreviated message because I feel like this is what I'm supposed to share with you. Someone needs to hear this morning that there is greater glory in you than you're aware of. I know you've heard the scripture that we carry this treasure in earthen vessels. You know that? There's too much focus on the earthen vessels. And not enough awareness of the glory of God, the treasure that's inside of us, that needs to be released to a lost and dying world that's in darkness. Isaiah chapter 61 says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples." Oh, no. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen on you. Is anyone receiving this glory? Is anyone expecting more glory? There's so much more glory in you than you're aware of. You are a glorious one. I'm blowing dust off the revelation that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is glory inside of you that needs to be released. Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be done. If we're not expecting glory and receiving glory and expecting favor and receiving favor, we may not be seeing that much in our lives, but it's there for the taking. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. Hey, Hillboys, have you heard me talk about this before, about the violence and all this other stuff? I usually don't talk about this. This is special for you. I pray that you're receiving it. Because Pastor Dorman knows I love him. I love y'all. I'm excited to share this. Because he loves you so much. And if you've seen The Passion of the Christ, maybe you can get a taste of what all Jesus went through. Or what he paid for. And he did that so that we could be reconciled to the Father. Amen? So that we could be with him forever. Amen? So that we could have eternal life. Is anyone grateful for eternal life? This might be news to some of you, but I think we all need to be reminded. Eternal life doesn't begin when we die. Eternal life begins when we get born again. Because I believe it's in John 17, that Pastor Dorman was talking about, Jesus said, eternal life is to know the one true God. That's eternal life. So eternal life begins when we get saved and born again and enter into relationship with Jesus Christ. This is not a religion, this is a relationship, amen? I know you've heard this before, but it's like, that's when eternal life begins. I just want to ask you, are you experiencing eternal life? Amen, we are. Are we experiencing the fullness? I don't believe any of us are yet. There's more for us to walk in. There's more for us to experience, amen? This is good news. Is anyone excited about that? I'm excited about that because I know there's more. I mean, I've seen the deaf get healed. I've seen people with floaters get healed. Blurry vision get healed. People with diabetes get healed. People with neck pain, knee pain, any kind of pain, stroke weakness, lumps, tumors disappear. All these wonderful things. But I know there's more. I know there's more. And I know the promise is not just for people in their 90s when they say, I have a word for you. The Lord says the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. As for all of us, he always saves the best for last. Remember the wedding in Cana? So maybe you've experienced more of the goodness of God than I have. I don't know. But guess what? You ain't seen nothing yet, honey. The best is yet to come. Is anyone expecting more glory? Are you receiving the glory? Amen. You like me, right? I like you. I like you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. To give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. I think it'd be a little cruel of the Lord have all these plans for us and give us all the best plans the first 30 days that we know him. And then the rest of the time, well, we just got leftovers for you now. Does that sound like a good father? I know whenever I would open presents, and when I still do, I always like to say the biggest one for last. And if the biggest one isn't the best, then my wife helps me. No, let's open this one last. This is the best one. Oh, okay, good. I always like to save the best for last, right? I almost always like to wait till after I eat to have dessert. I like, because that's my favorite part. I like to save the best for last. Now, if you eat dessert first, I'm not condemning you, okay? There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So if you like dessert, that's fine. That's great. But maybe I have like a little bite, but then I like to eat my meal and then save the best for last. When I eat my sandwich, never mind. That's not important. So Hosea 3:5, in the last days they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. During worship time, I felt like I'm really supposed to share with this body that you are commissioners. You are commissioners, and you are called to commission others. You're called to raise others up. We have to understand that we are commissioned. We are on assignment. Amen? And he doesn't commission us. He doesn't call us unless he qualifies us and he enables us and he supplies everything we need. Amen? And I just want you to be encouraged that if it's the Lord's will, it's the Lord's bill. Amen? If it's the Lord's will, it's the Lord's bill. If there's a dream that you have and you're like, well, I don't have the money for that, get ready. Start getting ready. Make the preparations to step in to that dream. And when you start to step out of the boat, you're going to see, oh, there's money for this next step. Whoa, there's money. There's everything I need for this next step. Amen? I know the Dugans have experienced that. You step into the next step. You just keep going. Oh, I'm supposed to go this way. Is this way I'm supposed to go, Lord? Oh, okay, I'm going this way. Whoa, here's provision. Oh, here's more than I need. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. He's ready. He's ready. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's you. That's me. We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we can implore everyone on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is where your purpose is found. This is where the door is open to your destiny. This is how you find the purpose and plan for God in your life is through Jesus Christ. He is the door. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Are you so glad that Jesus became sin for you? He did that so that we could become the righteousness of God. I love this revelation because this reminds me of Psalms 5:12. And that says, the favor of the Lord surrounds the righteous, like a shield. So because Jesus became sin, I was made righteousness. So now because of that, the favor of the Lord surrounds me like a shield. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just going to give a real short testimony about that. Because I told you about parking lot stuff and all of that. Well, we are going to start an orphanage in the Philippines. I thought it was already going to happen, but it didn't happen yet. We hit a little setback. And what happened is some people that we, you know, were involved in ministry with or whatever, and that we were ready and they were on our board and everything, we're about to do it. And I was within 1 week of transferring about $10,000 from here over there to the Philippines. And because of the favor of God, a woman in passing made a comment about something that was going to be done with the finances. And so something was exposed that I didn't know about. And so it let me know, whoa, we got to put the brakes on this. And we're going to have to wait till we come back again to do that. And so I felt like I got hit in the gut. Have you ever gone through something you just feel like, oh, I got the wind knocked out of my sails? That's the way I felt. But almost immediately the Lord was like, you just experienced my favor. I had this exposed to you like a little birdie in passing told you what the king said in his chamber. And I let you get out of that before you got into it. That's favor surrounding me like a shield. That we do our best, and even if we, I made a wrong turn, the Lord's like, I got you. Because my favor surrounds you like a shield. Isn't that good to know? I have made mistakes before, have you? Yeah. But because we're the righteousness of God in Christ, his favor surrounds like a shield and he helps us. Does that sound like a good father? We should be in agreement with the Father's favor. Expecting the glory, receiving the glory, amen? And that's what we're sharing as we're going all around, because he's so good. I have one more revelation that I'm on assignment to share with you. Because on February 25th was the day our family flew back here to the U.S. from Manila in the Philippines. And I love to sleep till 7 a.m. In the Philippines, the sun comes up at 5:30 every morning and goes down at 5:30 every night. So when do you think my kids like to wake up? About 5:30. But by the grace of God, they wait until 7 to wake me up when we're in the Philippines. But I woke up at 6:40. And when you want to sleep till 7 and you wake up at 6:40, how do you feel? Not super excited. And that's the way I felt because I woke up early and I'm like, oh, I hope I can go back to sleep. Because when you're taking 11 people to the other side of the world, does that sound like a big job? It's a big job. So I tried to go back to sleep, but the Lord started speaking to me. And he said, when you go back to the U.S. and you go to all the churches you're going to go to, I want you to share with them that my people can help build up the spiritual walls in the United States. The United States is under attack by the enemy, by the devil. If your skin color is not the same as mine, you're not my enemy. You agree with that? Okay, good. I'm in the right place. That's right. If you're a different religion than I am, you're not my enemy. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against the devil, evil powers, in dark places, dark spirits, all this other stuff. As it says in Ephesians 6, our enemy, that's who our enemy is. But we can help build up the spiritual walls. And the Lord was speaking to my heart, just like Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in a position of authority. He had access to the king. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. Every day he had access to the king. Am I talking to anyone that has access to the king every day? And when Nehemiah found out what had happened in Jerusalem and how the walls had been torn down, it gripped his soul. And he was like, I got to do something. So even though he was afraid to tell the king, because he had never acted unhappy before in the presence of the king. Because when you're the cupbearer, you're supposed to be happy or you might be gone. And so he told the king, he stepped out in faith, he told the king what had happened. And the king gave him time off from his job so that he could leave. Would you like to have time off from your job? All expenses paid. Gave him all this extra money to rebuild the walls. He gave him escort, you know, safe passage with him. He wrote letters of authority so that everyone would know he has authority to be doing this. And I just want to encourage you, it's not a long book, to read the book in Nehemiah. We don't have time to talk all about it. But they go against Tobias and Sanballat and all these things. The enemy is still working the same way to come against the people of God. But we see that Nehemiah prevailed. And it only was 52 days. That was all it took. And that wall was rebuilt. And what I think is so fun is they finished on the 25th of the month. And I just thought that was fun because it was on the 25th. He's telling all this to me as we're about to fly back here. The Lord has good plans for the United States of America. The best is yet to come for America. Some of you might think I'm crazy. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I know what the Word says. And I know that this nation was founded on covenant with God. And I know there's been mistakes along the way. I know there's sin in the camp. I know that. Who's going to point out the nation that has no sin? Who's going to point out the nation that's so much greater than America? Everyone's flocking to try to get into that country. Are there millions of people trying to get into Saudi Arabia? Are there millions of people trying to get into China? Maybe missionaries. This, I believe, is the greatest nation on earth. And it's all because of the grace of God. God truly has shed his grace on America. And he's not finished. And I just want you to know, I don't believe we're supposed to be like James and John and want to be calling fire down from heaven to judge people that we don't like. I believe the Lord wants us calling down heavenly fire of revival, of the goodness of God being revealed, because it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Anybody with me? Hallelujah. How can we help build up the spiritual walls? By praying, by prophesying, by speaking life. Amen? It says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love, and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you would prophesy. Did you know that you can prophesy? If Christ is in you, is Christ the prophet? Christ is the prophet. If Christ is in you, you can prophesy. Now, we can all grow in our giftings, but we've been teaching our kids. Jesus is the good shepherd. Everyone agree with me so far? We're part of his flock. We all agree with that. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Are we all three for three? When you hear what the good shepherd says and then you repeat it, you just prophesy. Pretty simple, right? You can, even if you read the word of God, you read the Bible, and then you tell someone what you read, you've just prophesied. You've just spoken life. It's not that hard. Now, we can grow in our giftings, amen? We can step out into getting more wild with prophetic words and, oh, does November 12th mean anything to you? And boom, yeah, we can step out. And I know there's been abuse, but we should be like 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And 14:1 follows right after that. It says, follow the way of love and desire spiritual gifts so that we can bless other people. Spiritual gifts aren't so, well, look what I can do. They're to be used to bless other people. And that's part of the great adventure. I just want you to know, God wants us all to be living this great adventure of operating in spiritual gifts. I'm not operating all of them yet. No, I'm not. And I'm not operating them to the fullness of what I will someday. But I know I can be stepping out now in them. Amen? And that's following the way of love. Putting your reputation on the line. Sticking your neck out there and saying, you know, I just believe the Lord wants me to share with you that he has good plans for you. And you're saying that to someone you saw at the diner or whatever. And maybe they're going to give you the, you know, the cow looking at a new gate look. Or maybe they're going to get angry and say, leave me alone. Or maybe they're going to start crying and saying, oh, I needed to hear that. What kind of person are you that would come up to me and talk to me in a public place like that? I want to hear more. What are you on, you know? This is Jesus? You never know what kind of doors the Lord is going to open for you, amen? And you know what? That's starting to walk in the life of adventure that the Lord came to give us, amen? And I believe the Lord is inviting all of us to go a little deeper into the water, amen? Amen? I know I'm challenged just by sharing this. When I preach, I'm preaching to myself also. We just don't have time to show you the videos of the healings, but I just thought it was so fun. My wife, she took one of our boys to a restaurant there in Manila, and she sees a woman limping with a stocking on her leg, like she's in pain or whatever. And my wife, she just felt compelled to say, hey, are you okay? What's wrong? So she starts talking to her, prays for her in the restaurant, and the Lord heals her. So we have a video testimony of that on our YouTube channel. We've got over 100 videos of healing testimonies on our YouTube channel. But that's one of my favorite because here Jill is in a restaurant, sees a need, and is like, I know the Lord can meet that need. And here this woman, she's all smiling, she's so happy, and her eyes are like this big because she just encountered Jesus through an ambassador for Christ that we all are. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jesus has all authority, and he has given us authority in this life. That's part of the Great Commission. And so I just want you to know, if anyone here has a physical need, I'm believing that Jesus is going to touch you today. Is there anyone that has a physical need? Okay, I see those hands. Well, we're going to pray. And we're going to ask the Lord to heal, okay?
Well, I just want to share just a short testimony about our five-year-old. I guess he's in the children's church area or whatever. He's five, and he just started stepping out. And it was fun. He just burst on the scene because we were in Kentucky. Yes, we were in Kentucky. And he was like, I want to do prophetic art. We're like, okay, well, you haven't done this before. I want to do it. Okay. So Jill had a little discussion with him or whatever. So anyway, he did it. So he drew something or whatever. And so at the end of the service, he said, well, what do we got here? He goes, well, this is a man, and he's standing on a rock. I'm like, okay, who's this for? So he points to this guy that's like four rows back on the very end. He goes, it's for him. So anyway, that time, what we did is we just let him have the picture or whatever. Well, at the end of the service, the pastor came forward. He was so excited about everything that happened. And he goes, oh, it's all great. I loved your prophetic words for our church and the ministry, blah, blah, blah. But he said, that little kid, that five-year-old, his picture, he says, that was so powerful. He says, that was my favorite thing. I was like, okay, why? He goes, well, that man used to be the pastor of this church. And a number of years ago, he left to go pastor another church. And something happened at that church to where he left, and he hasn't been in church. And we haven't seen him. And he surprised us by showing up today. So then here, he gets his picture. And as we are given him the picture, I said, well, I just feel like the Lord is saying, hold in your hands. She starts crying and weeping because 2 days before that, she'd been having a quiet time with the Lord in her bedroom, in the secret place. And while she was there, the Lord told her, hold out both of your hands. And he put gold in each of her hands. So there's the double portion, and Ezekiel saw her with gold. So there's confirmation of what happened in the secret place. It didn't sound super wild to me. I was like, oh, that's good news. Double portion, gold, or whatever. You never know. The Lord might, you might be walking by someone and you see like a fire in them. And you say, you know, the Lord, I just believe he wants me to tell you that he loves you and I saw fire over you. You don't. You may not know what you hear from them, how that touches them. You never know. But the Lord wants to use us. Amen? Amen. So I just want to invite you. Would you please stand with me right now? I want us to pray for anyone that has a physical need. We're just going to pray corporately. And after we pray, then we'll turn the service over to Pastor Dorman. But I just want you to know our family will be up here in groups of two or three or whatever. We're willing to stay as long as you need us to pray for you. And if someone want to come forward and say, hey, I just need physical healing, and we'll pray for you. Or I just want you to listen. Maybe you'll hear something from the Lord for me. We'll listen to the Lord and see what he shares with us. Maybe there's a prophetic word for you, okay? We'll be glad to stay here and minister as long as you need us to, okay? Amen. But before we pray for healing, we're on assignment. I want us to pray for the United States. Would you join with me in doing that? Judy, would you come up here and help me? So, Father God, we're just so grateful for your great love that you have for us as your children. And we're so grateful for your great love for this nation, the United States of America. Lord, we want to speak blessings over America, Lord God. We know you have good plans for America, and we call them forth in Jesus' name. We call forth the prophetic destiny you have for the USA, Lord God. Father, we know that there's sin here in America, and we stand in the gap and we ask forgiveness, Lord God. We ask you turn this nation to you, Lord God. All the millions that are blind to you, we ask that you would reveal yourself to them. Use us, use your people to reveal Christ in this nation, Lord God. Father, we bless and we ask that your people would not be like James and John and calling down judgment on this nation. But we speak life. We speak blessing to America. Lord God, we ask that godly people would be put in places of leadership and authority in this nation, whether on the national level or the state level or the local level, Lord God. We ask that you use us, Lord God. Thank you for your prayers that you pray. Lord Jesus, you're at the right hand of the Father praying for America. You're interceding for us. And we just come into agreement and we say, the best is yet to come for the United States. That's what we call forth, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your perfect plan for America. We just thank you that over the past few years it's been seemed like that there's so much corruption. Lord, we just thank you that through those years the clouds have been filling up. And we just thank you that soon it's going to come where it's just going to be an amazing storm of your glory, Lord. We just thank you that you are going to reign all throughout the land, Lord. Yes. We just thank you for the youth. We just thank you that your plan for them is greater than they think, Lord. We just thank you that even though maybe they think that they're too young, that you will just open their doors for them for what you want them to do, Lord. Yes. We just thank you that you are not finished with America, but the best is yet to come. Amen. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we say amen to that? Amen. So we're just can we take just a few moments to just expect the glory in a new way in our lives right now, to receive the glory. And Pastor Dorman, if there's someone that can come and minister on music or if you want to play a CD, however y'all do that here. Father God, we just thank you. We just want to drink you in, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you would reveal your love right now to every one of us in the name of Jesus. Father God, I just come against that spirit of disappointment and dread that's afflicting some that are here, Lord God. We just lift them up. We lift up everyone that is feeling weary or burdened down by different cares or worries, Lord God. We just ask right now that your perfect love would wash away all fear right now in the name of Jesus. So come on, let's all just drink in the love of Jesus right now in a new way. Come on, let's taste again for the first time and see that the Lord is good. Father God, thank you for your love. Come on, let's take a big drink of his love. Your Father loves you. Thank you for your love, Father. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Hallelujah. Can you just hear your Heavenly Father say, I am well pleased with you, my child. Please hear your Heavenly Father say, I'm well pleased with you, my child. I see you through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your love, Lord God. We do. We drink in your love right now, Father. Thank you, Lord. I just see hearts being healed right now, hearts being refreshed. And I see condemnation being washed away right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing here right now in this moment. Thank you, Lord. Well, I just want you to know if you're drinking in his love, you're drinking in his healing. You're drinking in his healing. Father, we receive your healing touch right now. Father God, everyone that has a physical need, we receive that healing touch right now in the name of Jesus. Because of your great love for us, we repeat again the promise that by your stripes we're healed. We receive that right now in a new way, in a deeper way, in Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, because you have all authority, right now we just speak to every pain and we say, go in the name of Jesus. Any debilitating disease or chronic illness, lumps, tumors, we say, be gone in Jesus' name. Any disease, leave, because Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we ask you to touch everyone right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's keep our focus on Jesus. I want you to just try to test something in your body. If you had pain in your neck, I want you to try to move it. I believe you're going to see that there's a difference. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is here.